face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate
it. Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 4:03 here in the afternoon. It's the third hour of Felger and Mass presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're going over some comments from Mike Lombardi on his podcast, and we pay attention to Lombardi because he is close with Bill Belichick, used to work with Bill Belichick, has always had good insight into the way the Patriots are thinking. And we're not telling you whether the Pats and Lombardi are right or wrong. It's just, I think, a lot of his commentary in the past has reflected the way the Patriots think. Like, for example, N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf. Unfortunately, I think Mike Lombardi, you know, accurately projected how the Patriots felt at that position. And, you know, they were both wrong. But either way, this is why we pay attention to him. And not just that he has worked with Bill, probably still talks to Bill. Lombardi's kid is also on the coaching staff. Is he the receivers coach?
Yeah, receivers coach. Yeah.
Okay, Mick. So Mick Lombardi is actually in the room.
Amazing that he still has a job after last year.
So there's insight there. Well, it's the nepotism run amok there on the Patriots coaching staff. It doesn't, you know, this is the problem with nepotism. The actual performance is less important than who your dad is. But either way, that doesn't make the Patriots much different than a lot of, you know, coaching rooms across the league. This is a problem that's not just in New England. Anyway, Lombardi had a cut earlier about why the Patriots are probably not in on a quarterback at 15 or certainly trading up. And that comment is certainly debatable, but I think there's some logic there that I'm okay with about reaching at that position or reaching at any position and et cetera. Then Lombardi talked about, or he was asked by his co-host here on his podcast about, well, then at the veteran spot, they're going to get competition, right? Because Lombardi has probably been talking about, you know, they're not just going to stop at Cam Newton. They're going to have other bodies in here. And this is not just, you know, Cam Newton is not just the plan. I think Mike Lombardi has said this in the past. So it comes up yesterday, and the host asks him about, well, you know, it's not just Newton, right? And listen to how Lombardi responds to this. This crawled right up Mike Easter.
You don't believe that Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback necessarily, right? There's going to be a competition. He, as you said before, Mike, what they're paying him, a base value of $5.1 million, that's the key. Other people were saying, wait, one-year deal worth up to $13.6 million. Up to is the key there. For all the Patriots fans who say, well, I think Cam Newton sucks, you would say, well, listen, they're going to bring other people in there to push him for the starting job.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to try, but I think sometimes if you can't get that, you know, sometimes you just can't get, you can't get the ability to bring competition in. I'm sure they're going to try to do it as best they can. We'll see if they can, but it's hard to do it. You just can't manufacture competition.
This one, and I'm not yelling at Lombardi. I think he's parroting what he's hearing from the team. They're going to try. Sometimes you just can't get the competition. It's hard to get. Sometimes it just you just can't get it. What is he? What do you mean by that?
It means you have to pay for it.
Right.
That's what it means. It means you have to pay for it. And again, not even necessarily in dollars, but in draft collateral or what have you. You want Teddy Bridgewater, you got to wait for him to be released. Or you want Gardner Minshew, you got to trade for him. Jimmy Garoppolo, they'd like to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're going to have to trade for him and maybe pay him.
But now all of a sudden, it's just, you know, that's a hard thing to go get. Another quarterback? Another veteran quarterback who might be able to start, who would compete with Cam Newton. How hard is that? There are a million. There were Ryan Fitzpatrick was out there. Andy Dalton was out there. Gardner Minshew's there for the right price. Jimmy Garoppolo, ultimately, we think, is going to be available. If you wanted to go even bigger, the Carson Wentz trade wasn't that big of an ask on the part of the Eagles. Second round pick that converts to a first. I don't know. That guy was available. There's been a bunch of guys.
Mitchell Trubisky took a backup job.
Mitch Trubisky. James
Alex Smith
Winston,
is still out there.
Alex Smith. What are you talking about? Well, sometimes you just can't get it. It's hard.
They are dug in.
Oh, my God. So this one scared the crap out of me. I'm not agitated at Lombardi. He's just, again, sort of reflecting what he's hearing from the team, which is, none of these guys are worth it. We're not going to overpay for these guys. So, you know, no. I mean, it's Newton right now. And that's what it is. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Because what? You don't want to reach into your pocket for someone? Or you don't want to give up a draft pick for someone who could come here and help upgrade the situation while you're waiting for the draft? Again, the draft, I'm okay with going second round. But I am not okay with just Cam Newton. That is not okay. And why? Because you don't want to extend yourself at that position, even just a little bit?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, again, if they're thinking that way, and I have no doubt that they are, because I do think Lombardi is reflecting what is, you know, again, he's the messenger. Think of him as being the messenger. That's really all he is. And so it blows me away that they would approach it this way. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
And Lombardi, I'm sure, has been saying, you know, in the recent past, oh, no, they got more moves coming. So now it's like, Mike, you know, they have more moves coming, right? And he says, I don't know. It's hard to get. It's because the Patriots are, this is it. This is the plan. Newton and a draft pick. Not good enough.
Well, the other thing I do wonder about in there is this loyalty to Newton.
Right. There's that too.
Like, is this a factor in it?
If they trade for Minshew, Newton's going to think they did him dirty.
Right.
Or they bring in a Dalton, or bring in a guy that could compete with them. And
Bridgewater. Yeah.
Bridgewater may the best man win. Newton's going to look at him and say, well, wait a minute. You guys told me I was the guy unless you got Garoppolo. It's like, that's what they're worried about? So now you can't even get competition in here? Oh, God. Really?
Which flies in the face of everything Bill believes. Everything he believes when it comes to a position that's unsettled. Bring in lots of guys, let them compete, and let's see if someone gets pushed into, you know, and someone becomes a better player as a result of it. They're not doing it with Newton.
Let me hear it again.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to try, but I think sometimes if you can't get that, you know, sometimes you just can't get, you can't get the ability to bring competition in. I'm sure they're going to try to do it as best they can. We'll see if they can, but I it's hard to do it. You just can't manufacture competition.
Yes, you can. It's probably one of the easiest things to do. You're not going out and getting a star. You're not going out and, you know, topping the market. You're just getting someone who can push the player that you have. That's usually an affordable piece. But at quarterback, nope. Pats can't be bothered to do that.
Is Brian Hoyer still on the roster?
No, well, he's apparently sniffing around the New York Jets.
Which pisses me off. I was hoping for another run with old Brian Hoyer.
But again, manufacture some competition with Brian Hoyer.
And what's that say about Jared Stidham, that comment, too? That, like, there's no competition to be even had with him still on the roster?
Because
he's
still there. It's a good point.
Stidham blows.
I mean, oh, my God, it's hard to do. It's hard to go out and get.
Really not.
Well, but, I mean, they're going to have someone to compete with Cam Newton, right? Well, they're going to try.
I think they're definitely going to try, but
they're going to try. Alex Smith is sitting right there. You're right. He's free agent sitting right there. No one else wants him. He'll be cheap. You don't want to bring him in? What? I take Alex Smith over Cam Newton right now.
Me too.
Yesterday, last week, you're a better team with Alex Smith. Now he's a big injury concern. Got it. Fine. So you have Cam Newton next to him. And in case Alex Smith gets hurt, you got your guy. Okay. How hard is that to get? Is Alex Smith some sort of challenge to go get? Yes, Jimmy.
Do you think that the players that the Patriots signed in free agency were promised Cam Newton as their quarterback, and that's why they signed here?
Yeah, not promised.
And that's why they can't have an actual competition?
I mean, do you?
I don't. But it's possible that Cam Newton is the one who's like, come on in, play with New England, and that was the recruitment pitch.
No, Simeon, I think Cam was them saying, we have Newton and we got more in the works.
Right.
So at worst, Cam Newton's your guy. And so I think that was important to them. And I think that was misplayed too. I think, as I told you from day one, the players in free agency come for the guaranteed money. That's it. So even if they didn't have Newton, I still think they're getting Jonnu Smith. They're still getting Hunter Henry. They're still certainly getting the guys on defense. Like, because that doesn't equate at all. Like, they're still getting all those defensive players. I bet you they're still getting Aguilar. I bet you they're still getting these guys. If they only had Stidham, if they had nothing on the roster, if the guaranteed money was the same, they're still going to get those guys. But they felt in their mind they had to have some placeholder. And so they commit to Cam Newton, and now this is boxing them out from upgrades they could have.
Well, that's another one, too. Like, all these stories that came out after the fact that Bill was the draw, then why did you have to sign Newton?
Thank you. That's another good one.
Why did you have to sign Newton? Why did you need the quarterback if Bill was the draw?
Thank you. They jumped the gun.
They gave Newton backup money for a reason, okay? Because in a perfect scenario, Newton's going to be the backup. Now, the problem is that they thought that Garoppolo would shake free by now, and he hasn't. Now, there's still a chance he might. I don't know that the Niners are necessarily fully committed to the idea of paying Jimmy Garoppolo $24 million to be a placeholder, you know, a transitional guy for however many games it takes. So maybe that will shake free. But this idea, Newton from the beginning was stupid. I'm sorry. He sucked last year. And I don't care how many people say it. You can shove COVID down my throat. You can shove the absence of weapons down my throat. You watched him play. We all watched him play. The guy couldn't throw the most basic passes or diagnose the defense when a blitz was coming.
Oh, Mike Lombardi, it's not just Newton, right? Well, they're going to try.
I think they're definitely going to try.
They're going to try? What could Jacksonville be asking for Gardner Minshew?
It can't be much because didn't they just sign C.J. Beathard, too?
Well, they did, yeah.
Fourth round pick?
So then what? They're waiting for him to be cut? And he'll immediately get snatched up by somebody else.
And the guy makes minimum salary. He's on a six-round pick is what he was, right? Or something like that.
Sixth-rounder, 2 years left in the deal.
He makes peanuts. So how hard is that?
Shouldn't be that hard.
Are you trying? Are you really trying?
I'll tell you what. You're gonna laugh at me when I say this. I'd take Jacksonville's fourth quarterback, for crying out loud. Whatever that guy's name was when he got in and played a few games and his numbers were horrid, he didn't look that bad in terms of his ability.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay, I'll find the name for you. I can't remember what his name is.
You'll take unnamed Jacksonville quarterback.
Jake Luton. Yeah. Jake Luton, 6'6", 224. Give me him. I'll take him over Cam Newton. Jake Luton completed 54.5% of his passes, 2 touchdowns, 6 picks. I'll have him over Cam. I'll take him. I think Belichick could get something out of that guy. There was a little bit of ability there.
What is this obsession they had with Cam Newton, man?
I'm not joking, by the way.
But go back to the point of this segment. Lombardi's reflecting where they're at. And I think my fear is that it's Newton and a draft pick, and that's not good enough. And I think this is sort of telling you that they've sort of just resigned themselves. They're not going to go out and get anybody else. Garoppolo's not falling into their lap like they thought. And so when Lombardi's asked about bringing in somebody to compete with Newton, he says, well, they're going to try, but it's hard. It doesn't always work out that way.
And, Mike, when you say Newton in a draft pick, you don't mean Newton in number 15.
Yeah, but see, I treat Newton in number 15 and Newton in number 40 the same to me. Because even if they draft Justin Fields or Trey Lance, even if they trade up for those guys, they're not playing in year one. They're not playing in year one. They're not ready, and Bill hates rookies to begin with. Never mind at that position.
And you know the answer to your
question. So it's still Cam Newton.
Okay, so your focus is 2021.
Yeah.
Okay, my focus is also what they're willing to do for that position. So it is a little different to me if they were to trade up to 7 or take a quarterback at 15.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd be okay with that, but I still don't think that guy's playing in year one.
No, and he's probably not. I understand what they should have done was a high pick and Garoppolo.
What they should have done, Maz, is never let Garoppolo go, right? Just say it.
I think they had the guy.
I was going to say, you also know the answer to your own question. Like, why? Why are they doing this with Cam Newton? Because he's beholden to Belichick.
Yep.
It's the complete opposite of everything he's dealt with Tom Brady, especially over the last few years. We thought he became a diva pain in the ass. And Cam is basically, like, obligated to him. Thanks for trying to resuscitate my career and give me a chance, coach. Listen to how he talks about him game after game. That's why he's here. That's why they brought him back.
You know, since you brought it up.
Oh, God. I was a joke. I didn't mean to really bring it up.
Since you brought it up.
I didn't seriously bring it up.
Do you know how much crap I took from Patriots fans when I kept saying it was a bad move to let him go? Do you know how much crap I took? Okay. And so what I would say right now.
I don't think it was a bad move to let him go.
To all you dumbasses out there, what I would say is I want my apologies. I want my effing apology. I want my apology.
Okay, apologize to Maz right after these words.
Boston's home for sports.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey, Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think it's, you know, this is a draft that can really impact their 2022 team when they, you know, won't have any cap, won't have any free agent money to spend. So they've got to really look short term and long term here. I think they need a three technique. If they can get a defensive tackle in there, I think that would be certainly something that could really help them. More speed on defense, another corner to help them cover. I think that could help them tremendously. You know, if they could go, you know, I don't think they're going to trade Gilmore. They still have Jonathan Jones, but he'll be a free agent after the season. So I think that those areas that I would start on, they're not far away. You know, obviously they've got to fix the quarterback position. Cam Newton's got to play much better. Where are they with Jarrett Stidham? And do they, can they trade up?
So that bit of analysis I'm fine with. In other words, I'm okay if they go defense at 15. I'm okay if they go defense at 15, quarterback at 40. Fine. I don't have an issue with that. And I think Bill, I trust Bill at defense. And not just that. I think the way the board goes and the way the board is laid out this year, you could really clean up there. I mean, again, at 15, you might have the best defensive front seven player on the entire board fall into your lap. There's going to be five quarterbacks. I've seen some mocks that have three receivers. Two offensive tackles. So that's 10.
Mm-hmm.
The best two defensive players on some mocks that I've seen are cornerbacks. Then you've got the tight end. And it's like, by the time you get to 15, the best defensive lineman or linebacker or best defensive front seven player could be just sitting there.
Correct. Like, I mean, and Mike, even if it's not the first, you know, the best guy, you get one of the top three with number 15.
I mean, to me, that's going to be hard for Bill to pass up, nor should he pass up.
He's going to take that. And you know what? Again, I've said the same thing. I trust Bill on defense. I think his history on drafting defense, front seven now,
well,
in the first round is pretty good.
His three highest picks since he became coach of the New England Patriots were number 6 in 2001, number 13 in 2003, and number 10 after trading down in 2008. Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Gerard Mayo.
Pretty good.
Those are all hits.
3 for 3.
Seymour was an absolutely great pick. He took heat for that, too. Remember that?
A little bit. Yeah.
David Terrell was the receiver.
Seymour wanted the receiver. That's right. And also, just to throw in there, Vince Wilfork at 21, Chandler Jones at 21, Dante Hightower at 25. I mean, those were high picks for the Patriots they're usually in the late 20s.
The only real whiff was who was the kid in 2014 that had the knee issues off Florida?
Dominique Easley.
Yeah,
okay, I think he was 32nd. And I think Malcolm Brown was also 32nd. So he's taken a couple defensive linemen in the first round that haven't panned out. I think they were at the end of the first, more towards the end of the first than these guys. Certainly not 6, 13, and 10. Those were Seymour, Warren, and Mayo. So now he's sort of back in that spot. And the only other time he was up really kind of this high was in 2011 when he took Nate Solder at 17. But again, big guy. And you know, as you said, when Bill's in this spot, you want him taking someone three balloons.
Yeah, a linebacker or someone who is three bills. That's what I want. Give me a fat guy or give me a linebacker, and I'm good with him picking there.
Well, if there's a really good defensive end, defensive tackle, three technique linebacker, the Penn State kid, fine. I have no problem with that. And then they think that Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask can be just as good as Justin Fields or Mac Jones, but you're drafting him in the second. I am fine. You are not going to hear me bitch about that. I bitch about all the veteran upgrades they had over Newton that they've passed on. That's my beef.
It's a legit beef.
Thank you. All right. The Mass stamp of approval.
Yes, you know, you've been validated.
To your phones now on everything. Phil and Rivera. Hi, Phil.
That's the biggest beef. I mean, you can go, why didn't he spend all this money when he had Brady? This is all Brady wanted him to do. I mean, you can go out and get all these guys, do all this. You got Cam Newton. Every time Every time he goes out to throw a pass, he's going to get down on one knee for 15 seconds, let the clock run, and then just run the ball and run into a pile.
Okay,
I don't understand
Phil,
their logic.
Well, yep. I do. When you have that guy, you shouldn't have to spend your face off for pieces around him. Brady should make the pieces around him better, and he did. For about 18 of his 20 years, he did. And Aaron Rodgers does, and most good quarterbacks do. And so, like, again, Aaron Rodgers, people complain that the Packers never spent a first-round pick at receiver on him, and they don't surround him, and I contend they shouldn't have to. What has happened is what should happen. He should turn this nobody tight end into a player, and he should turn these other receivers into players, and he should make those other guys better, and he does. And that's the way that that works. Pat Mahomes is exceptionally lucky that they've flipped the bill for Tyreek Hill and Hardman, and they surround him. But when you're an elite quarterback, I don't think you have to, and I don't think you should.
I'll tell you what, and I'm not trying to diminish some of those players. I'm not sure some of those Kansas City guys are as good as we think they are.
Yeah, maybe so. Like, I'm sure Mahomes makes them better.
I mean, but Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, those,
but,
you know.
Kelce and.
Yeah, no, studs.
Hill is
studs.
A freaking horse.
Studs.
Okay, stallion. But, you know, like, I mean, so you could say you could draft at those positions. You're not paying those guys a lot. Like, I mean, I understand. I don't think, let me just say, this goes back to the whole thing, you know. Just, you know, I just respectfully disagree with the Chris Gaspers of the world and all you people who think that they sort of left Brady high and dry. They didn't. For most of Brady's tenure, he was surrounded by a great defense and the best coaching in the league. And from time to time, his receivers weren't so hot. But usually he made him better. You know, usually he accounted for that as he should. And so I don't think Brady really has a beef. You know, even at the end, they tried, they failed. But even at the end, either way, so I'm not telling you now you go out and get the highest paid quarterback in the league to plug into what you've got here. You just can't have the lowest, which is what they have with Cam Newton.
Yeah, the problem is that they didn't have a succession plan then, and they don't have one now. They're still sort of flying by the seat of their pants on it.
Brendan in South Boston on our Celtics conversation. Go ahead, Brendan.
How you doing? First of all, Jaylen Brown needs to be quiet. He said he was going to win 5 titles in a row. I remember that. Now, I wanted to compare Tatum to Pierce. If you look at Pierce pre-stabbing, he was dancing with Antoine.
Yeah,
the
no.
Wiggle, whatever. I forget
I get
his
it.
Antoine
Walker. I get it.
He was dancing with him. And after that, after he got stabbed, he was a different player. I'm not saying Tatum needs to get stabbed. I'm not saying that. But he drove to the hoop. He changed his attitude. He was a different, better player. I still have hope for Tatum.
Okay. I mean, you're kind of right, kind of not. But it's generally fair to say that Pierce grew up, and then he got Garnett, and now we go back and look at Paul Pierce as some sort of great winner. When the fact is, for three-quarters of his career, we sort of looked at him and said, doesn't quite get it, not the guy. So it took him growing up and getting just the right DNA mix next to him. You know, and I'd put Doc on that list too. Like that, and that sort of brought out Pierce. So is that possible? The same thing could happen with Tatum. Yes.
Sure it is. Yeah. And look, you know, you mentioned the other day, how many young guys don't have respect for their coach and then develop it? Pierce and Doc.
Did he not like him at first?
Oh, it was bad at the beginning, I think.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was. And in fact, again, that I always cite that night where fans in the building started chanting, "Fire Doc."
I did that.
Pierce is on the bench at the time laughing. Like, you know, like, if you're the coach, it's no laughing matter. Rivers ignored it, and yet his best player was on the bench laughing about it. And so eventually they got through it, and they got past it, and it developed. So Pierce grew up a little bit, but the big thing is Garnett. Garnett changed everything. All of a sudden, Pierce had someone to answer to.
Yeah, there's time on Tatum. And so I'm not moving Tatum. I'm not one of these guys, or Brown. I'm moving pieces around these guys and see if I can bring someone who can reach them, whether that's a coach or a player or both. That's my plan. I'm not getting rid of Brown or Tatum yet. I'm just surprised the number of people who say, do split those guys up. So I'm not there yet. I don't give up on a talent like Tatum until I'm sure that you can't reach him, or, you know, he wants out and you're boxed into it.
Smart should be the first guy to go.
Definitely. Absolutely, sir. Certainly when he comes out and finally hits a three to win a game, says, I'm going to keep shooting him. Like, oh, my God, talk about not getting it. I have a Bruins minute for you as it relates to the trade deadline. Pieces are starting to move across the league. Bruins in on it but not completing the deal. How do we feel about that? Heading into game 2 of the Jeremy Swayman era at Washington tonight. Is that the right move by the Bruins as well? All coming your way right after Big Jim's update.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The interesting thing for me is they've got both goaltenders. Yaro Halak, their backup goaltender, and of course Tuukka Rask, their veteran number one. They're both on expiring contracts. So could there be contract talks in season to get something done? And I think the short answer to that is yes, the Bruins are not opposed to bringing back one or both of these guys and doing in-season contracts if they get the sense from the goaltenders that's what they want to do. Rask is really the key here. How much longer does he want to play? And I think the Bruins are waiting for some sort of indication from him on how he'd like to proceed, but the Bruins, by all means, are open to having one or both of these guys back. They have to, you know, a little bit of a dance in terms of Jeremy Swayman or Daniel Vladar. Their younger goalies in the system, is one of them ready to step up just yet, or how would all those pieces of the puzzle fit? But all things considered, the veteran goaltender Rask and veteran Halak may be getting contracts before the end of the season if that's the way they want to go.
So we just play that because it was Bob McKenzie. That was over a month ago. What's the date on that, Jimmy?
March 4th.
So he was on to something all the way back then, that there's something percolating with the goaltending and the trade deadline and Rask's future. And so this has been on the table here for a while. It's been on the table for a while. When did Rask first get hurt with the back?
It was,
probably around that time. It's got to be 6 weeks ago.
So I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know. So here we are now.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't trust Rask, is what I mean.
Well, yeah, me either.
And what I mean is, like, I'm going to say he's like a bold-faced liar or something, but I don't trust that everything's on the level or what. Like, I just never know with the guy. I don't know where he's at. That's what I mean. So it's not as, you know, diabolical as I mean, like, I don't trust you. Like, I always wonder if there's something behind the situation where he's just, you know, what's up with him? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying.
You don't trust him like he's stealing food out of the company fridge?
Yeah, right, like that. Like, you know, exactly.
Well, it's always something with him.
It's always something.
March 7th.
March 7th. I was just about to say that.
So, you know, like, all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, there was just a standard between periods thing about the Bruins and the deadline over a month ago. And it's like, well, there's the goalie thing too. And then what, 2 days later he gets hurt and he comes back, plays one period. And he's like, he's out. He's like, what? Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying I don't know with Rask. And so this is all a backdrop for, so where they, and now it's been further reported that the Bruins are looking at goaltending or were looking at goaltending. So is that because they want to move on from Rask, or they think Rask is done after this year, he's retiring after this year, or there's some sort of something there, right? Like, I just don't know. I can't connect all the dots, but I just wonder if there's something there. But they were looking at goaltending.
Mm-hmm. They might still be.
So why would you be looking at goaltending if Rask was locked and loaded for this year and you still have Halak? You know, why are you looking at goaltending? And you've apparently got a couple kids that can play. So I don't know. Maybe the story will become clear to me at some point, but it's not now. All I know is Jeremy Swayman gets a start tonight at the Capitals.
I like it.
I don't know, but on the face of it, I don't. What did I say the other day about this kid? Be careful. Because he's the guy. So now you're going into a team that owns you, who's better than you. You're playing poorly. And is McAvoy in or out? Do we know?
It doesn't look like he's in. If they're saying the lines are going to be the same as the other night, which is the report.
No Carlo, no McAvoy. You're playing like crap, and you're now in a building where you're playing against one of the best teams in the league and a team that owns you. And you throw the rookie into that? Like, I don't know. Like, that's not really managing him now, is it?
I like it. I do. Again, and I don't know that one game is going to ruin him. I think it's, you know, that's a longer-term thing. But I think they're telling you something, clearly. You know, Vladar was the first choice when they needed another guy. He was the first choice, and he got, what, four starts, five, however many it was? This kid gets one, you know, plays great, and now it's, you know what? Let's send you against the big boys and see how it looks.
Yeah, trial by fire.
I don't mind it. I like it. And again, now look, you raise a fair point about the decor. You do. And so, you know, I do feel better that Kevin Miller's in there.
I mean, they've sprung some big leaks back there recently.
Huge. To call them leaks would be an understatement.
The finger is out of the dike.
I mean, you're talking about like hitting an iceberg kind of leaks. Like, it's been out of control. I feel pretty good that Kevin Miller's back there. He makes a difference in that zone when he's back there. They can't get the puck out of there, too. That's an issue.
So, like, I don't know if I want to put the rookie in there.
You know what? Let's see how he handles it. Let's see. Mike, Washington's the big boys. So that's the big boys.
So this is the one I'll just second guess it tomorrow. I'll either say great call or bad call, depending on what happens.
See, that's why you're good at what you do.
No, it's a great, it's a good
facilitation.
I'm sitting here saying I like it, and then tomorrow I come out and say, boy, that was dumb. And it was, yeah, Naz, you didn't say that yesterday.
No, I don't like it, so fine. I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's not like you to be a scared. It's usually my thing.
Oh, no, when it comes to the Bruins, I'm scared crapless. This team is the one that scares me.
But if the kid's good, and I get it. Look, goalies have gone bad. You just saw one against, you know, the one that's in the net for Philly now. They've ruined him. Marc-Andre Fleury went bad. Roberto Luongo went bad. It happens. But if the kid's the real deal, he's the real deal.
So, I don't know. Like, this is a game I would say you'd sacrifice someone. Sacrifice the Vladar kid. You know, sacrifice him. Because this is going to be a tough one.
Can you get Malcolm Subban back?
I mean, look, never mind the back and forth with you and the Capitals to begin with. Like, the last time you faced each other, it got ugly, and now it's Washington's turn to respond and answer to it. And so I think they're going to come up with a hair across their ass. They're probably going to be pretty good tonight. You are getting all sorts of you're a mess in back, and so it's like maybe live to fight another day on this one.
I like it. I like it.
Meanwhile, trade deadline.
We're giving away games now? No way. Send them out there. Let's go. Let's see if you have any nuggets.
Meanwhile, I don't when it comes to the Bruins. I've got little teeny tiny macadamia nuts. The team scares me. Trade deadline. Kyle Palmieri and Zajac moved last night to the Islanders. Apparently, the Bruins were the runner-up in that trade. And just doing a little bit of reading, it feels like the line of demarcation was the first-round pick. The Islanders gave up a first-round pick. The Bruins wouldn't go there. To which I say, good, smart. I do not give up a first-round pick if I'm the Bruins. At least not for that, and probably not for anything. I don't, for two different reasons. One, I don't think this team is worth investing a first-round pick in for a rental, certainly. You know, I don't think they're knocking at the door of a championship. I give them a small chance. I still think they're in it, barely. But I don't think they're that kind of thing, like they're primed to make a run. So we're going to give up a first-round pick for a rental to win a cup this year. I don't think they're that kind of team. That's one. And two, you can't keep trading away first-round picks. You gave away one last year to get rid of Backes. You gave away one in 2018 to get Rick Nash. You just can't keep doing this. You know, so this is not the year to give up a first-round pick. Can I get away with giving away some young players who I don't like DeBrusk or Bjork or someone like this? Yes, that I do. But I don't give away that first-round pick. So I think you're on the right side of that.
Do you believe that, by the way, that they were the runner-up? Or is that like, I don't know. That strikes me as like,
I mean, I have no idea.
Them just trying to appease the base.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
Like, that's Ainge-esque spin.
I mean,
Ainge hears that, and Tex Sweeney is like, nice.
Yeah. Well played, sir. Yeah. I mean, I think they've liked Palmieri. They've been in on him for years. So I don't doubt that they were making calls on him. But see, the thing with the first-round pick, though, see, I think the Islanders, it's good for their team, so good deal. But I don't like what they did. New Jersey kept half the money on both players, which is why they got the first-round pick. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
It's like the Islanders say, well, we'll give you a second and a third, you know, for those salaries. And New Jersey says, well, what if we keep some of the money? What if we pay some of the money? Okay, then we'll give you first. So it's like, well, you cheap bastards. Like, take their full salaries. There's just a half season left. Take their full salaries and keep your first round pick. Like, I think that's poorly played by the Islanders, or cheap.
So, look, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Was there a cap issue?
I don't know. That would have been in the next thing, but I don't want to look that up. I'd rather just go with that take.
I love it.
Because I felt this. I had that exact same conversation in my head on the way in.
And you said, I'm going to ignore that.
I said, I'm going to call the Islanders cheap because they could have gotten away. They had Jersey keep part of the money, so they had to give up a first-round pick, you cheap bastards. Then I said to myself, well, what if they're tight against the cap? And then I said, you know what? I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that take. And there you go.
Well, I shouldn't have
that's the whole thought process there between the on the Felger and Maz show.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep. Take. Start with the take, and then we circle back to the logic.
Opinions,
and the facts.
Not facts. Felger
exactly.
And Maz.
Thank you. So, but long story short, I don't mind the Bruins not giving up a first round pick. I don't. Not this year. Not for this team. All right. So there's your Bruins minute. You can mix that in with our other thoughts right after these words in our long commercial free segment.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger and Maz, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I mean, if Mac Jones goes three, which is what we all believe to be true, and he goes three, then where does that all fit? You know, that means get to four. Do they like Justin Fields? I don't think so. Do they like Trey Lance? I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, just knowing how they operate, I couldn't imagine that they could get either one of Lance and Fields to a high enough point to justify trading up to get them. See, this is what fans don't understand. If you have a grading system, right, that you have to really adhere to, You've got to be able to say, well, Lombardi says they don't like Fields and they don't like Lance. Well, that doesn't mean they don't like them. What I'm saying is they don't have them graded high enough to be able to justify drafting them at that point in the draft.
That's a Mike Lombardi cut that we are focusing on. And that one doesn't outrage me as much as the stuff about, well, it's hard to get competition in here.
Just quick, because I guess I didn't notice it the first time. He sounds pretty definitive that they are not in on Fields.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's annoying.
Yep. Why?
I mean, I'm just basing this on the fact that up until a couple of months ago, Justin Fields was the consensus number two behind Trevor Lawrence. And now he's dropped a bit because of buzz about Mac Jones. And the way that, you know, look, we all know what's happened there. But the kid could potentially be a stud. I've said before, like, if he makes it in this league, he'd be anywhere between Dak Prescott or maybe Deshaun Watson. And they don't like that? Like,
well, so this, again, like, this part of their approach doesn't bother me. But, Jim, we can agree to disagree. Because I do think that if you're good and smart and it's a certain year or a certain board, you can do just as well at 40 as you can at 15.
Oh, sure.
As far as I'm concerned, Kellen Mond might be a better player and a better prospect than Justin Fields.
And he might be, but that's one, man. Like, you gotta hope made the right assessment on him, because if he becomes a player and he is at 15 and you pass on him, oh, boy.
But, Mike, this does speak to the other part of that cut that we've talked about, which is the whole idea that if they look at Fields and say, well, you know, he's not bad. He's not number 15 in the draft. And then they pass on him at 15 and he goes at 23, but they were willing to take him at 40. Well, then what the hell are you doing?
So this is my question to the audience. I tried to bring up before, and it's a little convoluted, but it's basically this. The Pats are not going to be in on these quarterbacks at the top of the first round because they don't have grades of top of the first round prospects. So my question is, I understand why you would do that at every other position except this one, quarterback, which is a premium position which teams overpay for. So you sort of by nature, unless you get lucky, have to overspend. You have to overspend on the contract. You have to overspend often where you draft the guy because teams prioritize this position. So can the Patriots apply their same methodology to quarterback that they do every other position? We're not going to draft that nose tackle at 15. He projects at 25. Okay, that makes sense at nose tackle. But at quarterback, don't you kind of have to do that? Don't you kind of have to swallow your pride and say his grade isn't high enough, but we need the player, and this is where he's going to go with other teams, so we got to go here.
Yes, if for no other reason than the fact that everyone else does it means you don't have a choice.
So, okay, and but in the same breath, I'll tell you, the teams that do that have gotten in trouble over the years. There's a tremendous amount of examples right here in this division. The Bills did it with E.J. Manuel. The Bills did it with J.P. Lossman. The Bills did it with Trent Edwards. And then they did it again with Josh Allen and finally hit, but it took them like 20 years and three or four cracks at it. Is that how you want to go about it? And there's more examples than not of teams just hauling off and drafting the quarterback at 15, even though he shouldn't be drafted there and it not working out. So like, I get their logic. I get it. But then by the same token, if you want to get that position, you better get it on it early because everyone else is. So which is it? And that's why I sort of ask you. For me, I'm actually okay with this part of it. I'm okay with this part of it. Don't reach there at that spot for that position, especially if you really think the players are close and Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond or whoever you believe are right there. Fine. Like, I'm okay with that piece to it.
Okay, but the part of it that worries me is that I think Bill Belichick is predisposed to say that all players are close. Again, and I always go back to Julio Jones, no, Jonathan true. Baldwin. Okay, Julio Jones at number 6, or wherever Atlanta took him, and he says, why would you trade up and go get him there when you can get the same guy at number 28? So in the Patriots grading system, were Julio Jones and Jonathan Baldwin the same draft grade? Is that what Bill's telling us?
No, I don't think that's what was written. You know, it was, you know, he's close enough and you're more value where you're going
to
take Baldwin.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, the fact that other, you know, I'm not saying follow the herd. Okay, because that's not the right way to do it.
But it does feel like there's like an inflexibility here, doesn't it? Like hearing that like their board is their board and they're not going to move from their board and how they have assessed these players, which I don't know. How's that worked out for you recently?
Yeah, and when it comes to quarterback, Murray, the fact that everyone else goes up to get them, the large majority of quarterbacks come in the first 40 picks of the draft.
Right.
Those are facts. Those aren't opinions. They're facts. So most quarterbacks are taken high. Teams know that, so they stretch for quarterbacks. It often doesn't work. But the point is, the supply of the quarterbacks is going to go fast. Your only chance to get one of those guys in most cases is to grab them early. Otherwise, you're banking on what, a lottery ticket?
So, to me, that's a good discussion. And there's points on both sides. I'm not going to give you the other side of the veteran piece to it, which is you could have done better than Cam Newton, and you're not. That's, to me, indisputable. Happy to argue with you about it, but you're wrong if you think that what they're doing here with Newton is the right approach. So that's on the table. Everything's on the table from the day. Our Bruins discussion just there. We had Celtics chatter early on. That's still on the table, I promise. Right to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. There was some breaking news today on Julian Edelman and his availability for next season and more details on Tiger Woods. Again, here's the update. No commercials, and we're right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.